Pasuk in this week's parasha that says you might get a person who is going to say Shalom Yigali, things are going to go good for me, Ki Bishriris Libi Eilech, I'm going to go with the desires of my heart, I'm going to do whatever I want and things are still going to be good, I don't have to worry at all. It's very difficult to understand this pasuk. I could understand if a person says I don't believe all this business and therefore I'm going to do what I want. But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like the guy is saying, I do believe it. I believe it all. But still, I'm going to do the desires of my heart, even though I believe it. I'm going to do what I want. And still, Shalom Yigali, why do you think it's going to go good for you? It's going to be Shalom Yigali. If you're doing whatever you want, it won't be Shalom Yigali. So what is this guy thinking? He's not saying he doesn't believe. He believes, and still everything will be fine for me, even though I do what I want. How could a person think that? And the answer is, sadly enough, to a certain degree, everybody thinks that. There's some level that everybody thinks that. That is, people think that, yeah, I do a little bit wrong, but on the other hand, look at all the mitzvahs I do. A guy thinks, you know, I daven 3 times a day, well, usually. I daven with a minyan most of the time. I learn half of night seder. I sometimes come in time to davening. So in general, I keep kashrus, keep Shabbos. So, I'm a good guy. I don't have to worry. Shalom Yigali. I can do what I want, the other things, and Shalom Yigali. Everybody has it to a certain amount. And here maybe we're talking about somebody who goes to extremes. A guy will think of people chal Shabbos. But I don't have to worry. I give big stockers. People think like that. They say, I've got a good heart. I help Klai Yisrael so much, the Rebbeinu Shlom is never going to do something to me. Shalom Yigali. That is called what we call a cardiac Jew. He's a Jew at heart. But the problem is, there are 248 mitzvahs, I say, and there are 248 limbs in the body. Every mitzvah is parallel to another limb. So if you say you have a good heart, that's only one limb in your body. You can't live with just a heart. You need the 248 limbs as well. So it's not shaykh for a person to say, Shalom Yigali, Ki Bishriris Libi Eilech, I'm going with my heart. That's only going to assure your heart, but you've got other organs too. And I just saw in the summer something incredible, something similar to this yesod. Rav Shimshon Pinkers explains, pshat, a reason why the Rebbeinu Shlom destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, a moshel, he says, a guy painted a picture, is that there was a cliff and a beautiful view and scenery, and he painted this picture. And a friend of his comes to see it. So he wants to show his friend the picture. He says, see this picture? No, you've got to see it from the right angle. He says, I want to find the right angle, we should look at the picture. And he starts backing up to look at the picture. And as he's backing up, he's getting closer and closer to the cliff's edge. So his friend calls out, watch out, watch out! And he's looking. 1 second, wow. Now let's get the angle right. And he's focusing so much on the picture, he doesn't see he's about to go off the edge of the cliff. And his friend is screaming at him, he doesn't get it. So finally, his friend takes a stone and smashes the picture. And when his friend, the guy says, what are you doing? And he realizes, of course, that was the only way to save him. So Rav Pinkus says, imagine you had somebody, there was a time, there'd be a Beis HaMikdash. And the person, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he wakes up one morning, and that night, he thought, while he was asleep, came to his mind a certain stock, which he thinks is going to be very successful, this stock. He calls his stockbroker, and he tells him, buy me 50,000. Shares in this company. And he puts down the phone, and all of a sudden he chaps, 1 second, it's Yom Kippur. You can imagine how bad he feels. Yom Kippur. He just made a telephone call, he bought stock on Yom Kippur. He feels mamish. How could he do such a thing? Bothers him so much, he goes to shul, he dabbles, he's crying. Then he goes to his rav and he says, what do I do? He says, you did it on purpose? He says, no. It's a shaygig. It's a shaygig. It's no problem, the shaygig. Yeah, I got a kapara. What do you have to do is bring a carbon. Rebbeinu Shlom understands. That's what there's a carbon for. So the guy says, okay. And before he goes to buy his carbon, he's checking his stock portfolio, and he sees his stock went up. He sees he just made $1 million on this stock. It feels terrible. Look at the chet he did. But however terrible it feels, you know, like, why has he made $1 million? It's quite nice. He thinks to himself, that's a terrible chet. I've got to do something. I need a kapara for this chet. So you know what, I'm going to buy the most expensive carbon there is. Adam K costs $5,000. It goes to the store there, the best carbon you have. Why not? He made $1 million. And that way he'll have a kapara. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give $200,000 to Stockholm. And he goes there to bring his carbon. Now, how bad do you think he thinks about his... How sorry is he? He's giving $200,000 to Stockholm. And he's bringing the carbon, the best carbon possible. How bad does he feel about the chet he did? How can you feel? After all, it's not. I got rid of it now. So it comes out of the carbon, the fact that you're getting a kapara, that's making you not have charat on your chet. He says, Rav Pinchas says, the Rebbe Nishlom had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, just like that person had destroyed the picture. That is what's killing the person. It's killing the person who's not realizing how chomer a chet is. He doesn't mind the chet so much in a matzav like that. So a person can do chatoim sometimes, and he thinks you can trade. You can't trade when it comes to chatoim. Rosh Yeshiva mentioned this morning the pasuk, Loi ba shemayim hi. The Torah is not in shemayim. Loi mar miyal olono shemayim kochel. Saying, we have to go up the heavens to get it. And Rashi says, Shilu hoisa ba shemayim. If it would be in shemayim, Hoyetzorech lalis achreel olamdo. You would have to go after it and learn it. You would be mechuyev to. What does that mean, you would be mechuyev to? If it would be in heaven, you have to go and get it there. Exactly how are you going to do that? A rocket ship, a ladder, a tower. If the Torah be in Shema, you have to go and get it. Now, the Gemara is not Shakespeare. It's not poetry. If the Torah writes it, obviously, you're supposed to do it. What are you supposed to do? So pshat is, there are times in life when it seems to you that the Torah is in Shema. It seems impossible to do it. But you think it's impossible. But whatever you think is impossible, that is not an excuse not to do it. You've got to do everything you can. The ancient Greeks, they wanted people to run faster. It's an interesting method what they would do. They would have wild animals run behind them. It's amazing how quick you can go when you have a lion at your heels. But then in the last 100 years, they had the Olympics. And they were timing people doing the mile. And nobody was able to run a 4-minute mile. And they decided, anthropologists, doctors, it's impossible for the human body to be able to run a 4-minute mile. Our bone structure is not correct. There's wind resistance. The capacity of the lungs is inadequate. Can't do it. And they gave millions of reasons why. Until in 1934, of course he was British, Roger Bannister came along. And he broke the 4-minute mile. Now, of course, that was a feat. He broke the 4-minute mile. But what the most amazing thing is that people don't know is that that year, 37 people ran a 4-minute mile. And the next year around the world, 300 people ran a 4-minute mile. How's it shy? It wasn't possible till then. Pshat is once people saw it was possible, they saw they're able to do it as well. But the problem is, we think it's impossible. What the Torah is telling us, Loi b'shemayim, imhi b'shemayim, it seems to you to be on Shemayim. A guy arrives here on Sunday morning. He was up till 2 o'clock saying slichas. How can I learn today? How can I focus? It's impossible. I'm exhausted. It's not possible. Imhi b'shemayim, you have to go after it. You can do it. It's a matter of how much you push yourself. And I'm sure by most people there's been times in life when something was very, very important to them, and they did everything they had to do in order to be able to focus, to do what they had to do. So another story. There was a fellow who grew up in a disadvantaged home, and the chances are, alpi statistics, there was more chance of him being shot or landing up in jail than graduating high school. But this kid decided, as a young kid already, he's going to make it. And he worked very hard in school, something which is quite rare today. He worked hard. And he went through elementary school. He did very well. He went on to high school. And he was successful there as well. He really plugged away at it. And his favorite subject, I guess he was a strange guy, was math. He loved math. And he really put his koichas into it. He got a scholarship to college. He went on to college. And before he finished his higher education, he was about to finish, he had his final exam, he saw a sign up in the college, they're looking for an assistant professor. And he felt he'd got A's all the way through. He had a 4.0 average. And he felt, if I ace this last test, maybe they'll let me be an assistant professor. It's his dream. And he can move up higher from there. He applied for the job. Came to that last test, he knew everything is dependent on it. He studied and he studied and he studied. He studied so hard that he came late to the test. So he began the test, he was late already. But he found the questions quite easy. He knew it so well. He breezed through it. He went through it again. And it was a few minutes left, he just stretched himself for a second, and he sees on the blackboard, there's one more question. And he's really bothered by it. He can't do this question, he doesn't have time. So he writes down, starts doing it, and it's impossible. The bell rings, the test is over. He goes over to the proctor, to his professor, and he says, listen, I did the whole test on the paper, I didn't know there was another question. And I want to get this job as assistant professor. I've got a 4.0 average, please, let me have more time. I came late. The professor says to him, listen, the test is over, I have to collect the papers. I'll tell you what, take the question home. I know you're a good student. Work on the question, and when you're finished, bring it back to me, and I'll see what I can do for you. So he feels bad about it. He doesn't know how much he'll help, but at least this way he wants to prove it to himself he can do it. He goes home, and he starts working on this question. And he's working and working. He doesn't realize the time going by. Until it comes Mamisha time when Talmidim come and give the Krishna Shal Shachris. He worked through the whole night. And he finished the question, and he goes to professor's house, and he drops it off there. And he goes back home, and he goes to sleep. A couple of hours later, he gets woken up. There's a knock at the door, he opens the door, and professor's standing there. He says, what is it? He says, I came to congratulate you twice. He says, what do you mean? He says, first of all, you have a job as assistant professor in the college. He says, wow, thank you so much. And what's the other thing? He says, the other thing is, I just wanted to let you know that you made math history today. He says, what are you talking about? He says, this question that was on the board wasn't part of the test. Before the test began, I told the students that you're going away for the summer, and there's this question, which you think about over the summer, is a question that Einstein used to doodle with in his spare time, and he never came up with an answer for it. And you solved this problem. So he says to him, wow, had you told me that Einstein couldn't solve it, I never would have been able to do it. And that is our problem in life. We think we're not able to do it. The capabilities we have are incredible. It is not pshat that Rabbi Yashiv, Chaim Kanievsky have different capabilities. Yes, some think they have better capabilities. But I'm sure if you put in the hours of what Chaim Kanievsky and Rabbi Yashiv put in, you'd be pretty good. Put in 18 hours a day without any hafsakas and you don't think about anything else, I'm pretty sure you would rank up there too. You go 70 years of your life with nothing else on your brain, I think you'll get pretty far. Like the Rosh Yeshiva mentioned this morning, I saw the picture. You can see in your TED the picture this week of Steinman sitting there. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and he's sitting there. Like he's not lying on some armchair. He's sitting there with a shtender, he's got his kapota on, I think he had his hat on as well, and he's sitting and learning there, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's cheating, of course you do well then. Of course he's a godel. That's not fair. He puts in more hours. You're allowed to cheat like that. You could also do that. You could also become a godel. There's a beautiful chap from the Chanukah HaTorah, the Rebbe of Heschel, he said, there's a medrash in Parshas Vayelech that says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Rebbe Shalom and said, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you cannot go because it's time for the Malchus of Yeshua. And one Malchus cannot disturb the Malchus of another person. So Yeshua is taking over now. So Moshe said, no problem, I'll go as the Talmud. Let him take over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, okay, fine. Yeshua calls Yeshua to the El Moed. And he talks to Yeshua in the El Moed. Yeshua comes out. Moshe says to Yeshua, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to you? And Yeshua answers Moshe in a very strange way. He says to him, all the 40 years in the Midbar, did I ever ask you? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, better to have 1,000 deaths, rather than one kinah, one jealousy. So what's pshat this medrash? What's pshat when Yeshua says to Moshe, did I ever ask you? That's how he talks to his Rebbe. So pshat is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? You want to go as a Talmud? You think you want to go to the Talmud. I want to show you something. So he says, Yeshua calls Yeshua into the Ohel Moed. Yeshua comes in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, these are the words HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua. All the 40 years in the Midbar, did I ever ask you? Yeshua comes out. Moshe says, what did he say? Yeshua says over exactly what he said. All the 40 years in the Midbar, did I ever ask you? So Moshe, it bothered him. That's how Yeshua talks to me. And then he chapped all of a sudden, 1 second. Obviously, Yeshua wouldn't talk like that. This is what the Rabbi Shalom said to him. But it bothered him for a second, and he realized it's not so easy to become the Talmud. He said, better 1,000 deaths than 1 jealousy. He understood then why he can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, just very quickly. Okay, yeah? Time? Oh, okay. Somebody once came to the Brisker Rav, and he said to the Brisker Rav that I live in a town where the people there all Rishoyim. And it's very hard to raise my children. I have to keep protecting them from the people around them. They shouldn't mix with them. And I'm fed up with it. And I've decided to move to a town. It's easy to mechanech my children. But the people of the town say they need me there. I would help them, give shurim. And if I leave, it's going to be terrible for their Yiddishkeit. And I have to stay. So I'm asking the Brisker Rav, what should I do? The Brisker Rav said to him, you're making a big mistake. You have to leave. Nothing to do with your children. You have to leave for your own sake. And he says, it's a Mephorosh Pasuk. The Pasuk says in the Torah, Vatiru, you will see Isha, could say Miskululehim. You will see the Avodah Zorahs, eats for Evan, Kesev, Zorah, Shemar. You'll see all the Avodah Zorahs. And then he says in the next Pasuk, and there'll be somebody who's going to go and do the Avodah Zorah. So Miskrov says, the Pasuk says you're going to see Shikutseim, Gululehim. What does that mean, Avodah Zorah? Rashi explains the word Sheketz and Godel. It uses terms to describe the Avodah Zorah, Sheketz, disgusting things. Golol, excrement. Meaning you will see the Avodah Zorahs. How will you look at the Avodah Zorahs? You will look at it with disgust, with abhorrence. It is sheketz, it's golol, it's excrement. Yuck! When you look at it. And the next pasuk says, and you might come to do it. How is it possible? Pshat is, at the beginning, you find it disgusting. And then eventually, get used to it a little bit, and then a little bit more, until in the end, you can come to do it. There's a story I once heard of a person who came to live in a town called Sadoim. And he starts demonstrating, every day we go out with picket signs. And on those signs it says there, what you're doing is evil. You're going to cause your destruction. Stop the evil. And every day goes with these signs. After 3 months somebody comes to him and says, are you crazy? Well, you think it's going to help what you're doing? You're wasting your time. So he says, for the first 2 months I was doing it because I wanted to change them. Now I'm doing it so that I shouldn't change. Meaning you live with people. Eventually, you're going to become what they are. So he told this Yid, you have a shite about leaving because of the chinuch of your children. You don't have to leave because of your children. You have to leave because of you. Because eventually, it's going to affect you. Shabbos.
Those of you are late. Final warning. Be on time next week.
Now you'll go down for eternity.